This is the Tao of Christ, and I am Marshall Davis. In this podcast, I explore the mystical roots of Christianity, which Jesus called the Kingdom of God, which I refer to as Christian non-duality, unitive awareness, or union with God. Others call it non-dual awareness, liberation, enlightenment, or spiritual awakening. It is the heart of all spiritual traditions. This is the Tao of Christ. Good afternoon. This is Marshall Davis. Well, it's mid-February here in New Hampshire, and the primary election season is over here, but not for most Americans. But for me, it means no more political flyers in my post office box, no more junk phone calls, surveys asking who I'm going to vote for, no more presidential candidates visiting neighboring towns or even our little village looking for votes. But most Americans still have the presidential primaries coming up, although it seems pretty clear to almost everyone, I think, who the nominees are going to be. And then, after the primaries, we have the general election to look forward to in November, where it's likely that two old white men will be on the ballot for president. So we have about 9 months more of vitriolic political rhetoric until we finally cast our votes. And the question I want to address today is, how do we approach this political mess and all the emotions swirling around it? How do we view this from a non-dual perspective as non-dual awareness? I have several things I want to say about this. First, we need to remember that the whole thing is a product of the human mind. We invent countries and nations and governments and rights and political offices and elections and political philosophies and parties and labels like liberal and conservative. And then after we invent them, we get so used to them that we think that they are real. But they have no basis in reality outside of the human mind. Now, granted, that what is in our mind can have ramifications for people when acted upon, but the whole thing only has meaning, the meaning that we attribute to it. This election seems very important to people, but it only has the importance that we give it. It's a game, like a card game or a video game or a sports game, like the Super Bowl. Now, it can seem very important at the time to the fans who are emotionally invested in it, but it's all just fabrication. Taylor Swift seems to care who won the Super Bowl. But heaven doesn't care. The Tao doesn't care. Brahman doesn't care. Now, the theistic, nationalistic deities, like the God of the Old Testament, seem to care. He has, according to the Old Testament, a chosen people. All national deities do. The tribal deities of the religious nationalisms today seem to care, but these gods are just projections of the human psyche. They have no reality outside the mind. The eternal God, God beyond God, who alone is real, is above nations and ideologies and politics. The second thing to remember is that we do not have free will anyway. So we should not get too excited about who we're going to vote for. Now, I've talked about free will in other episodes, so I'm not going to go into it in depth now, but I need to talk a little bit about it. Now, think about this for a moment. The personal self, the ego, is a fictional character. That becomes very clear when we do self-inquiry. Now, how can a fictional character have free will? It has no more free will than a character in a novel has free will. Now, people talk a lot about free and fair elections. But we need to remember there's no such thing as free will. Humans have a will, to be sure, but it's not free. That's what Martin Luther famously said in his work, The Bondage of the Will. The Apostle Paul said that. He said we're either slaves to sin or slaves to righteousness. Either way, we're slaves, not free. Calvinists say we don't even have the freedom to choose who we will be slaves to. People think they have free will because it seems like we can do what we want. And they prove it by doing what they want. And it's true that we can do what we want, but we cannot choose what we want. The philosopher Schopenhauer said that we can do what we want, but we cannot want what we want. Our wants are determined by our nature and conditioning. We have no control over these. We cannot even choose what we think. Notice your thoughts. You have no control over what your next thought is going to be. It just pops into the head unbidden. Then we seem to choose to act upon what pops into our head. But do we? Scientific experiments recently have shown that our decisions are made before we become conscious of them. So they're actually made for us by the unconscious mind and by the unconscious body, and only after it has been decided unconsciously for us does the conscious mind know about it. And then the ego, the personal self, takes credit for it, and we say, I chose. I have free will. But we really did not choose. But the ego, the psychological personal self, doesn't decide anything. It's just along for the ride. Like me, when I tried to ride a horse in the Black Hills years ago, I was just bouncing along at the mercy of the horse, holding on for dear life, hoping I wouldn't fall off. The ego is just hanging on, bouncing along for the ride on the human body. Every 4th of July, there's a rubber duck race in a neighboring town, and we can buy tickets for $5 each, or five for $20, and we get to pick a duck. And it gets put with all the other ducks, and over 4,000 ducks, rubber ducks, then tumble down a waterfall at an old mill, under a bridge, and travel into the lake, and people cheer them on. And the first prize is $1,000. Now, we have no control over that duck as it races along. We can cheer, and we can urge on the rubber duck all we want, but the results are completely out of control, out of our control, and certainly out of the control of the rubber duck. That is a metaphor for human life. The ego is just along for the ride, like a rubber duck that's along for the ride, riding on the surface of the water, along with these other clueless egos bumping into each other along the way. It has no control. That's our lives. Multiply that by 150 million, and you have the American election. None of us really have control over how we're going to vote. Now, it feels like we do. It feels like we have the freedom to choose, but we don't really. Our choice is determined by what race and socioeconomic class we're born into, our upbringing, our education, our family, our social groups that influence us, our church, or some other religious group, the source of information that comes to us, and so forth, on and on and on, countless number of influences. Now, you can disagree with me about the existence of free will. And that's fine. I might be wrong. My views on the matter are as determined as anything else. Perhaps we have some small degree of freedom, even after all the conditioning. Certainly it's nice to think so. But if this is true, I think it's very limited. And if we really have no freedom, then we really don't choose who's going to be president. Furthermore, those people who choose the opposing candidate can't help it for voting for him. So there's no need to get angry at them. They can't help it if they pick the wrong candidate. And yet we still need to act as if we are free to choose. And therefore we need to choose responsibly. At least what it seems to be responsibly. We have to vote for what we think is the best candidate, and we can contribute to them financially if we want to, and even work for them, if necessary, to get them elected. But there's no need to get bent out of shape about it, because who wins the rubber duck race is really beyond our control. The third thing to remember is that there's no such thing as time. In all decisions happen in time. But there is no time. There's no past and future. So why worry about what's going to happen? Time is an illusion. Time is just a mind's way of keeping everything from happening all at once. In reality, there is only ever now. The past is just a memory, which is nothing more than a idea in the mind, and not even a very accurate one. It's been proven our memories are very inaccurate. The future is even less real, if such a thing is possible. It's only in our imagination. The only reality is here now. To dwell in the past, therefore, or worry about the future, is needless suffering. We are here now. We can only be here now. Now, some people practice mindfulness, trying to be in the present, trying to be here now, and that's fine to do. But the truth is, we cannot be anywhere or anywhen but here now, because there is only here now. No need to try to be here now. Can't be otherwise. Just be. Be what you are. That takes the stress out of living, and that is the cure for 99% of suffering that we inflict upon ourselves and others. It's a cure for the anxiety that people feel about all sorts of things, including politics, the upcoming election, as well as all the political shenanigans that happen every day or we read about in the news. My final point today is that it will all work out. Julian of Norwich famously said, "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well." Is a song has been written based on that text, and it continues, "For there is a force of love moving through the universe that holds us fast and will never let us go." The Apostle Paul wrote, "All things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to God's purpose." I like to quote the Desiderata in this regard. It starts off with the words, "Go placidly amid the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence." And then it ends with these words, "And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive God to be. And whatever your labors and aspirations in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace in your soul." The way of non-duality is the way of peace in your soul, in the midst of the turmoil of human affairs, including politics. So it's fine to be involved politically, and it's fine not to be. We don't really have any choice anyway. We are what we are, which is what God told Moses at the burning bush. I am what I am. And it's fine to have political convictions or not. It's fine to be a social activist or not. The world will go on as it must. We play our part in history, whether we are mentioned in the history books or in the news or not. So play your part fully and completely, but remember, it's just a part, it's a role that we play in this drama of life, this game of life. What we really are is the changeless, eternal reality that is beyond history, beyond time and space, beyond politics and religion. Be what you are. Be here now, the peace of God. And that is it for today. Grace and peace to you. That is the Tao of Christ for today. Thank you for listening. You can access other episodes of this podcast at thetaoofchrist.com. You can also find these podcasts in video format at my YouTube channel at christiannonduality.net. My blog, Spiritual Reflections, can be found at marshalldavis.us. There you will also find a link to my books and my email address. Join me next time for another episode of The Tao of Christ.